Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to Amin Metalka, director of the new Disney International Touchstone film, The United. It's the American company's first film for the Middle East, and it's a story of lost young men who are brought together to save their lives by playing football, soccer to us Americans. Stick around. If you love Bend It Like Beckham, I have a feeling The United will be worth the wait to one day see it in the U.S. with subtitles, or everywhere else a lot sooner. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you by Amazon.com, Audible.com, and 1-800-DIAL-DJs. Please stop by the website, MrMedia.com, click on our advertisers, support the show. And remember, there's more than 1,000 interviews available at MrMedia.com. We've been doing this since February 2007. Hope you'll find something you like. And thanks for listening. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of Hollywood studios that recently discovered there are people on our great ball of mud who speak languages other than English but share a common love of sports in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. I never played soccer, but once I was drafted almost a dozen years ago to coach my 5-year-old daughter's team, no other parent would step up. I was hooked. And even though she lost interest in the sport, I've been steadfast in it ever since. I'll actually be in my 7th year of overseeing a middle school girls' team this fall, having coming off a perfect 15-0 season last year. And I'm not telling you that to brag. Okay, maybe a little. But to express how much I'm drawn to this particular sport and its potential for changing lives. That's why I'm eager to talk to director Amin Metalka today about his new soccer film, his new football film, The United, even though it's an Arab language film with no guarantee it'll ever be shown in North America. The trailer is all about a motley crew of young men who seem lost and adrift, some slovenly, others highly unlikely to have ever found their way to any sports field. But it promises viewers that this group might just find salvation on the soccer field. Now, that works for me. Did you see Bend It Like Beckham? I have, about 100 times. Forget that that's women, these are men. It's a sports story, okay? And just as Bruce Springsteen promises that rock and roll can save your soul, I think soccer can inspire a lot of the same for a lot of young men and women. Now, bringing The United to life is a young director in front of me here, Amin Metalka. I first talked to Amin in 2009 when he was promoting a wonderful indie film called Captain Abu Rayed. It was a slice-of-life film made in his native Jordan, and it, too, showed how an opportunity to be a better person could revolutionize someone's path. Incidentally, Captain Abu Rayed won 27 major international festival prizes and became the first Jordanian entry to the Academy Awards for Best Foreign Language Film. Now, normally, I won't have a guest on to talk about a film or TV show if I can't see it first. But I'm a fan of Amin's, and I'm curious about his unique situation as director of the first Disney International Touchstone production ever intended for the Arab world. I expect we'll hear an amazing story. No pressure, my friend. Amin Metalka, welcome back to Mr. Media.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Bob. It's great to be back.
My pleasure. Good to see you. I mean, literally, good to see you.
Yeah, great to see you, despite any pixelation that may come in from my end.
I was going to say, I guess we should tell people if they're watching this, we are aware that there's a bit of a video problem. We've worked on it and worked on it. We finally threw up our hands, decided to move ahead with it as is. So we've got you
here. We'll try to be as entertaining to compensate for it.
He'll try. I know it won't work for me. So, I mean, only you can tell me. This is an awkward situation for me. Did I oversell the film? Did I go down the wrong path based on basically a trailer and a few sentences of description? Or am I on the right track?
No, you're actually, you know, it's very much a Disney movie in the vein of Mighty Ducks and Remember the Titans and those kinds of films. basically, Disney International started making films in China, Russia, India, and they were approached by producer Rachel Gandon to why not make a film in the Middle East, and they had actually a few projects in development. And I wasn't involved. I was promoting Captain at the time, and then I got word that they had this project, this soccer movie with a bunch of kids, and actually at the time, their script had them where the kids were like 8 year old kids. They were 8 to 10 year old kids, much younger, and the premise is basically they're from all around the Middle East, so they're from different countries around the Middle East. Oh. Which plays on one level, the movie plays as a very universal theme, kids that are, you know, ragtag team of kids who don't get along, they're misfits. But also in the Middle East, it also has a different layer to it, because that's kind of the cliche story of the Middle East, that they don't get along, none of those countries get along, or they're, you know, they all rag on each other. So the writer, Nizar Watad, who actually grew up in Tennessee, but he's a Palestinian-American, and he wrote the script with these kind of, he wrote it in English. The script was actually developed at, you know, with Disney here. And the intention was always to be a universally appealing film, but also be a local movie to the region. Because as far as Disney's concerned, they were making the movie for the Middle East. But as far as when I got involved, I said, well, I definitely want it to be, to feel like a Hollywood kind of film, yet still also be a local. That seems to be the theme of my life with the first, with Captain, and then this is how do you merge those two worlds, you know? But the next thing I did is I made the kids older, and I, you know, suggested to Disney to make some changes with the script. But and they gravitated towards that. They said, yeah, of course, why not? Let's make them older, because what we wanted to do is create hero figures for kids in the Middle East. It's still a family movie. And it still has the same storyline, all these things, but it appeals to a broader age group. With these 19, 20-year-old misfits at the center.
Did Captain put you in their line of sight, or did you put you in their line of sight?
Yeah, I mean, definitely Captain kind of was unique in that it's an Arabic language film that has transcended and come to the U.S. Very, very few films from the region come to the U.S., but I guess, by design, Captain was a movie that I wanted to be universally appealing, not just a local movie for there. Because I live in L.A., and I guess I never thought I'd be making movies in the Middle East, so why not try to merge worlds and make it as accessible to a global audience? And yeah, it did. It was kind of, you know, Disney knew who I was because of Captain, and then I got word that the project was actually opening up to potential directors outside of Egypt, because initially they wanted to make the film in Egypt, and then I got involved, and they got excited that, yeah, we can actually have someone that we, you know, connect with, and we got along really well. So,
and so where did you shoot?
So we shot in Jordan, actually, but we did some second unit stuff in Egypt, some second unit stuff in Morocco and Kuwait. And the final game of the movie actually takes place in France. So the movie kind of changes locations, but we shot everything. All principal photography was in Jordan, even though the story starts in Egypt, goes to Jordan, and then it jumps to some of those other places, and then it ends up in France.
And I know that Captain was shot in Jordan, so I'm yes, assuming that this, it probably for you and for Disney, it increases your comfort level going in there to shoot this. What I'm guessing to be a little bit bigger budget than Captain.
Actually, it was a smaller budget than Captain.
Oh my God, you're kidding! How's
that
possible?
It was slightly smaller. It was a $2 million movie, give or take. You know, Captain was 2 point something, and this was just under 2 million. It was 1.7, because they have to. You know, the business model was, let's make small movies for the region. It's not a huge market, and in fact, everything was tied to doing the movie in Egypt initially. And like you said, my comfort level with Jordan. Part of my pitch was, well, I'll bring. Actually, the whole project fell apart with regard to making it in Egypt, and then that's where I felt like more confident that I can convince them to greenlight the movie if we move it to Jordan. and just kind of changed that story setting where, because the movie's about a coach who's brought out of retirement to train these kids, it's really about the coach and his kind of second chance, you know. So he's a hermit living in Egypt in the beginning, and then he's moved to, and he comes to Jordan. He's conned into coming to Jordan by his former star player to train these kids, and it's like a half finished academy, and nothing works, and it's like, you know, the field is just muddy, the goalpost is all rusty and bent, and it's there's a lot of comedy in the movie. I really hope it does play. We did a screening at Disney to a primarily American audience, and they were really into it. The American audience watching a foreign film, knowing nothing about soccer, and they were jumping in their seats at the end. So I felt like we accomplished what we wanted to do, and I'm hoping that it'll eventually come to iTunes or, you know, Netflix or something in the U.S.
Yeah, I'd love to show it to my kids. I mean, you know, I jump at any opportunity to show them anything soccer. And this, you know, this just looks like something that would be a lot of fun for them. Well, we'll come back to that in a minute, because towards the end, I do want to talk to you about its chances of being seen here in wider release. But let's focus on this. You said that it did have to be changed a little bit when you got involved. Was there any, you know, concern on their part? Well, you know, he did this one film, it's an indie, but, you know, we're Disney. We do things differently here. Was there concern on your part, for that matter?
Well, the whole experience was kind of a combo of making a studio movie, but also it was on my turf in the Middle East. So once we arrived in Jordan, they really put a lot of confidence in me, and I felt like, obviously it was a big weight because no studio had ever made a movie in the region, an American studio, one of the major, and of course Disney is well known for being a very high quality studio. You know, they have a brand to protect, you know, and so. But we really kind of once we clicked, and we, you know, they knew I was on the same page as they were. Surprisingly, they gave me a lot of control, and they kind of surrendered it to me in a way that felt very comfortable, and I think it was just winning a vote of confidence, and they knew that I was going to put my all, pour my heart into it, and they all loved Captain, especially the executive, the main executive, Jason Reed. His fiance was a big fan of Captain, so that kind of helped, maybe, I don't know. But yeah, it felt like it was a mutual confidence. You know, we all had the same intentions to make this great movie. And certainly I knew the territory there, and I kept demonstrating to them that, you know, my team and my people there that I knew that worked with me on Captain were all putting, like, their 200%. You know, we got, even with Captain, where primarily most of our crew were, the key crew were from L.A., and the local crew was kind of the secondary, you know, the smaller positions. With Captain, I just brought my AD, my DP from here, and Steadicam operator, and my first AC. The rest was all local Jordanian crew, because the cinema industry in Jordan has been growing ever since Captain. Not because of Captain, but certainly I'm sure it made some kind of difference. But you know, Hurt Locker and the Royal Film Commission continued to promote filming in Jordan, And we had a completely local crew. My AD, my designer, my production designer, everybody was from Jordan. They had attained experience from the productions that were shooting there.
Now, were you sending dailies back to Hollywood, or who was?
Yeah.
And so, do you think you got more or less notes because of the nature of what you were doing?
Well, what they did is they came by. They hung out on the set the first two or three days. And they saw I kind of knew what I was doing, and they were, you know, they were not surprised. I think we all understood what our intentions were, and they saw my directing style, and they saw that everybody got along. And once they got that vote of confidence, then we had a VPN uplink where they would ship dailies. And the notes were very minimal, actually. After the first couple of days, they were like, oh, can you just kind of make a couple of adjustments in here and there? And then we were like, yeah. And, you know, they saw I was cooperative. But at the end, it was actually very, very smooth. It wasn't like one of those nightmarish studio intervention experiences you hear about from other studios.
And I think you sort of made reference. Were there many crew members from, I guess in general, besides you, what connections were there between Captain and the United, if any?
Well, my DP was the same DP, Ray Peschke, Reinhard Peschke, who I've done three features with now. He also did my third movie, Strangely in Love, with me here in L.A. My Steadicam operator, Manolo, was new. Anyways, the primary connections, we had Rana Sultan, who was in the female pilot and Captain. She had a small cameo in this movie.
She was great. I remember her.
I gave her a small cameo at the beginning of the movie, one of the roles. But mostly, other than some of the ground crew, it was mostly all new as far as the key crew, other than the DP and my AC, Randy Williamson.
Let me ask you this. Now, your first film, you went in there, it was an indie, slightly bigger budget, which amazes me. Were you concerned about going back but being connected to, an American film company? Even though it's Disney, it's a little different than maybe, Warner or something. But, some American companies a little more welcome probably than others in the Middle East?
Oh, no. To the contrary. In fact, everybody was excited that Disney was making a movie over there. In fact, that was a selling point more than anything else. We got a lot of favors, from organizations and people, and because again it was a small budget, so we had to kind of resort to some favors. But people were excited that this is actually happening. In fact, it was hard to believe that we're actually making a Disney movie. This is kind of quite historic that we're actually making an Arabic language Disney movie. It was very surreal. Is the word. And we shot we started shooting and the revolution in Egypt broke out, and our star, our key actor, the coach, is from Egypt. So we went out to Egypt, we cast him and came back, and he's like a legendary Egyptian actor. He's kind of been around since the 80s or even maybe the 70s. He's like a Mickey Rourke comeback story. So it was a big deal that we were not only making this Disney Arabic film, but also that we had Farouk Fishawi, who's the our lead, and when we were filming in the streets, people were people would swarm around him. He was a big celebrity. I was like really amazed how easily recognizable he was, because I'm here, I live in LA, I kind of don't have that perspective as far as how people react to an Egyptian star. But anyways, we shot during the revolution that broke out in Egypt. And so there was a lot of uncertainty, like, is it safe being from Disney's part? They were like, are we okay shooting there? So there were concerns about what's going on, how is this affecting Jordan? And, there were some demonstrations, peaceful demonstrations in Jordan, but there was a lot of, like, madness going on in the region. And we were, like, just on target, making our movie, staying on target. And then we finished and we wrapped production. It was a 5-week shoot, pretty quick for a movie like this, especially filming soccer, because that's probably the trickiest sport to shoot.
I would think.
You're dealing with a big field, lots of choreography, and in the winter, in the rain, and the mud, and the revolution. There were a lot of variables that made it tricky, but it felt miraculous that we persevered and we got through.
Now, tell me about the young men who play the soccer players. Were many of them either actually soccer players or actors? Were both? Or tell me something about these guys.
How about neither?
Oh God!
Well, everybody plays soccer there. Okay,
yeah.
So what we did is for the two criteria where we needed to cast kids from across the Middle East. So we did a lot of Skype casting. We reached out to a lot of organizations and individuals and people, anybody we knew, Facebook, social media, Twitter. And we put the word out that Disney's making this movie, and we are looking for people that can play soccer, that are within this age group, and send us photos, and just kind of reached out. And this is a pretty short pre-production period. It was 2 months to do all the casting and prep and locations and, you know, all this stuff. And translating the script to Arabic, because we had to do that as well. And not only Arabic, but also the different dialects of Arabic, because we cast kids from Saudi Arabia, or we went to Saudi, Kuwait, Morocco, which is North Africa, completely different Arabic than the Jordanian Arabic that we have. Jordan, Lebanon. We had a Palestinian kid from Gaza who was studying in Florida, but happened to be on vacation in Jordan to visit his mom for Christmas, and we got word. So Lebanon, Sudan. So we had a very eclectic mix. And then part of the audition was, let's first see, can they act? And two, then if they kind of filtered down that, then we'd say, can they, you know, let's see how your soccer skills. That was the second tier of narrowing it down. And I was pretty much, it was like me and my producer and we had a casting director in Jordan. And we auditioned every single one of them ourselves, you know, just trying these different skills. So it was really, really interesting working with them on the soccer. And then we had a couple of guys who were really, really good with the ball. Like, they were very fancy with the ball. So it was a combination of, you know, their soccer skills and their just natural acting. But again, with Captain, I had worked with all non-actors, as far as other than Nadim, our lead. They were all non-actors. So I felt a certain comfort working with non-actors, as long as they have the natural ability to be, not to pretend to be, you know?
In the world of Disney, in the effort to make everything happy and everyone get along, and was there any effort to have an Israeli kid on the team?
No, it actually, that never even came up, because the primary market for the movie was kind of the Arab world, and it would have brought a whole other political conversation into the movie. And nobody ever wanted to make this a political movie. It was just, so that wasn't even part of the, I mean, that's basically the elephant in the room. And the moment you kind of bring an Arab Israeli, it becomes about that. And this movie wasn't about that. It was about these various kids, you know, from the Arab world. So no, it wouldn't have felt like a Disney movie if that's what it ended up being, you know.
Strangely, yeah. I mean, in the sense that, you know, they're all always for, you know, everybody gets along and can't we just get along? But in this case, it wouldn't have. Yeah, I could see how
we would have had to address that in the script, and it just becomes a different movie.
So what?
You know, I'd like to think that we made a timeless kind of little movie here.
What is Disney's objective here, in the same way that, you know, they've done films for specific other parts of the world, are they trying to create a market for all Disney films, or for Disney or for Arab Disney films, or what, you know, what did they talk to you about beforehand, what they wanted?
Sure. Well, what happened is they formed Disney International, I think, in 2008 or 2009. Because it wasn't just Disney. Disney, Universal, Fox, and I think there was maybe one other studio, maybe just those three, started dabbling in what they called the local markets, because they started to see trends where movies from China and India made more money in China and India than they did in the U.S., mm-hmm. So local movies, and they wanted to be able to compete in that territory. So they started to say, all right, well, let's produce those movies. They made High School the Musical in China. They made a movie called Book of Masters in Russia. And Fox saw actually a lot of success in their Russian production. I'm not sure of all the films that they did in the various countries, but it was an experiment to see, all right, how do we tackle the global market in a way where those movies are. But what Disney ultimately found is that it's actually more streamlined and probably better to focus on making their big Hollywood product, like Iron Man, catered with a different ending for China. so they can go, you know, go to the Chinese market and be more accessible there. And I think they're casting maybe some Chinese in future productions. I forget which film. And so what they did is, unfortunately, but fortunately for us, we got to finish the movie. Unfortunately for us, this was the last of the United was the last of the Disney International productions, because they closed down that whole division. Thus it was the movie sat on the shelf waiting for a year and a half in London, and it got handed over to the London office, and the fate of the film was just like, you know, sitting and waiting. Even though we knew, like, this movie is so timely now because people are looking for role models over there. Huh. And we, you know, we were hoping. So, and that's how it ended up kind of getting the Touchstone label. And it kind of didn't have the Disney International brand, because it's not there anymore. So that's kind of the long story short. Huh. Or long story longer.
Well, that's all right. Now, I have to ask you, of course, Air Bud was a Disney sports film, a series of Disney sports films. You are a dog guy. We can see a dog on your right, our left, relaxing. Was there any effort to make a dog, have a dog save the day for the soccer team, or teach them, you know, how to, you know, bend it like Beckham, that kind of thing?
From my part, no, but I'd like to make a dog movie one day. Like, I'd like to make a grown-up dog, like a serious man and his best friend movie one day. Like, Molly and Me was a great movie. Yeah. I'd like to make one about, like, a guy and his dog. But no, not in this case. I didn't want to change too much to that degree.
I can see that. And also, I wanted to ask you about one more question about the production itself. Were you had done obviously Captain in Jordan, but coming back with this with Disney, were you viewed as a Jordanian or as kind of an outsider, at least at first? Did they have to?
Where at Disney, you mean?
I'm sorry.
Where at Disney or in?
No, in Jordan, shooting the United.
Pretty much because of Captain, I don't want to say everybody knew who I was, but like it was pretty well known that I'm the guy who made Captain Abu Dhabi, so they knew who I was, and they look at me as a Jordanian who's living abroad, you know, even though I moved to the States when I was 13, so I'm really like Balto. If you've ever seen that film, I'm like the wolf and the dog, and kind of half breed of both, but I like to think that I can use that to my advantage, where I can cross bridges and make the world see that we all kind of have the same intentions. At the end of the day, we all just want to live happily and, you know, prosper. And, you know, the few bad apples have given the Middle East a pretty terrible reputation.
Well, now you have, changing gears, you have another film in the can, I believe, Strangely in Love. We were talking about it before we went on. You want to take a minute? Now, we'll have you back when that's ready to when that comes out, because, you know, I really love to see your success. But just Thank tell you. Folks a little bit about that film and, you know, when we might see that.
Well, we just finished it, actually. Strangely in Love is a really fun whimsical romantic comedy, very Chaplin-esque. It's basically my take on Fyodor Dostoevsky's 1948 novella, or 1848 novella, White Nights, which is a great book. I read that book, and it's basically my interpretation of it is a man boy, a bearded man boy who's ignored by everyone in society, gets recognized by the one person who's a blind girl, and he falls in love with her and ends up trying to help her win back her heroic lover, Steve, who's left her behind and gone off to Africa to save the children. So it's an absurd tale of unrequited love and the torment of unrequited love. And it's very, very colorful, very... two idiots in the world, you know, that kind of it's really fun, very naive and imbecilic, but I'd like to think it's a smart little movie.
And when will it
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, when will it start its path towards distribution and being seen?
Yeah, it got picked up by Paradigm Agency, one of the big agencies here in town. It's an American movie, and they're repping it now, and they're taking it out to buyers next month. So hopefully we'll have a distributor lined up in the next few months and get it out into the world before too long, because I'm really, really excited to kind of get that. That's my, for me, that feels like my most sincere production or sincere storytelling method. It's Captain America is a drama, but I really love comedy, and this movie feels like my voice more than if there's anything as such. But I could really relate to the story in Dostoevsky, and I wanted to convey it in a fun way. So I'll definitely be back. And then you can we have a Facebook group, Strangely in Love. On Facebook. So
will it not do the festival route that you've done so well with, or will it?
Yeah, we'll hopefully take it out to festivals, but Paradigm saw it and they're like, we want it, so they took on the movie. So we'll hopefully be premiering in one of the, you know, major festivals soon.
Very cool. Well, yeah. I need to point something out. Amin is wearing a Superman T-shirt. My Jordanian director friend here, by way of Columbus, Ohio, of course, and we didn't coordinate this ahead, but it just occurred to me that I am drinking water out of a Superman glass.
Nice. Where's my Superman mug? I have a Superman mug that is not in front of me, but yes, great, nice.
So I don't know. I just noticed that while we were talking.
Take your Superman and raise you a Don Quixote.
Oh, well, that tops me. What have I got here? Wait a minute. Spider-Man.
Ah, you got Spider-Man. I've
got a Hulk here.
Winston Churchill.
Oh, come on. I can't win here.
Oh, wait.
You're playing dirty.
Beethoven.
Beethoven. Oh, I know. Wait. I know what always tops anything from Columbus, Ohio. Florida Gator.
Oh yeah! Take your Florida Gator and raise you a
Oscar.
No, it's Animal from the.
Oh, it's Animal. I'm sorry. Oh God, I'm so embarrassed. That's right. Oscar is green, isn't he?
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna let the guest win. I will not continue. All right. Well, wait a minute. I got one more thing here. Okay. My Father's Day card.
Ah, nice.
Okay.
Nice. So you're big. Are you excited about the new Superman?
I'm a Christopher Reeve guy. I don't know. It looks like it'll be fun, but I mean, you know, I'm old enough that I saw the Christopher Reeve movie, you know, when it opened in a theater, and you know, everyone was so excited. You'll believe a man can fly. I mean, that was a big deal then. Now we'll believe a man can do pretty much anything.
Yeah, but it looks really like. Really cool. Henry Cavill looks like it's nice that they're not taking the existing they tried to do it in 2006 and it kind of fell flat.
yeah
so they I'm glad they went a different route and kind of are treating Superman in a if you will realistic way, but he looks really good. As my wife says, she says that I have a man crush on Henry Cavill because he's Superman. But you're allowed. I think you can do that.
I was going to say, I get that. I mean, at first I looked at him and he just didn't quite look like my image of Superman. But I've watched the trailers and I know there was another one just the other day. And, of course, the movie's out now, but or it's just days away from being out. Yeah, and yeah, I mean, I could see that. I mean, he looks pretty – you know, he looks very – heroic. And I actually heard him I heard an interview he did just recently. Gosh, I wish I could remember who it was with. And he was saying that he was like the runner-up for the previous Superman movie that Brandon Routh made, and that he was also runner-up to Daniel Craig for James Bond. So it's clearly...
Yeah, well, he was runner-up. He was attached to a J.J. Abrams written script of Superman.
Right.
Even that, yeah. So he was destined to play it, destined for the role.
I look forward to seeing it. You know, I'm definitely and you know, Lord knows DC and Warner need a movie hit with their characters.
Yeah.
Well, listen, folks, you can find, perhaps, The United on pay-per-view if you're in the Middle East right now, and it will be available on TV in parts of Europe, Latin America, and North America later this year. When and if it is available in North America, we will update this page and this post with that information. Do we see any hope of that happening, do you think?
Yeah, I think iTunes is opening up a lot of possibilities. I hope so. I really hope so. I'm going to keep pushing. It's on iTunes in Italy now, so in Italian, actually. So hopefully, we'll, you know, not dubbed in English because that would be weird, but I hope so. I'll keep pushing for it.
Please.
You know, I think it has an audience here.
I want to show my kids. The trailer looked great. The trailer, by the way, folks, you can find it on YouTube and a lot of places. It's got English subtitles, so I mean, you can follow what's going on, and it's going to make you like me. You're going to want to be like, I want to see this movie. Soccer. It's interesting in this country. You know, in Europe and in the Middle East, I'm sure there are plenty of teams that have huge followings as professional football or soccer teams. In this country, it's not as big at the professional level, but it's massive at the middle school and the junior high school, the high school level. It's very popular. So this film, I think, would be huge here. So
I hope so. Yeah. Well, let's keep fingers crossed. You never know.
All right. Now, is there?
And then maybe it'll kind of spread. And it's been sold to like 80 countries, so it's definitely, you know, gonna get exposure, and probably will find its way to the torrent sites at some point. I'm sure.
All right.
Actually, already has.
All right. Well, we don't need to know about that. La 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 la. We don't need to hear about that. Is there a website for the film?
There's a Facebook page, The United. I think The United Movie, or if you just type The United,
it should pop up.
And then you see some Arabic, because it says it in The United, and then it also says it in Arabic on the same title. But you won't miss it. You'll know it. I mean, it's the posters in English and everything. So,
okay.
Yeah, so there's a Facebook page, and we'll try to. It's kind of a strange way that we have to update the information about the film, but you'll find. I'll keep putting out information on Facebook if I get it. So,
all right. And Amin has his own website. It is aminmatalka.com. Matalqa, Amin. And he's also on Facebook. You can find him. I'm so happy for your success. I really enjoyed Captain, and I was delighted to see this film. I hope we'll get to see it. And certainly, when Strangely in Love is in distribution, we'll have you back. We'll fix the connection by then, and I look forward to talking to you then. And, you know, thank you so much for joining us on Mr. Media today.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much. Oh, and Captain is still on Netflix streaming for the next month, so people can watch it on streaming as well.
Oh, go look it up. And we'll have it. There'll be a link on this page. If you're watching the video, you should be able to click below us. There should be a copy of the DVD cover for Captain, and you should be able to click and order that as a DVD, if nothing else. So,
cool.
My friend, good to see you. Continued
success.
Good to see
you. Thanks so much.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
You can see and hear almost 1,000 Mr. Media interviews by visiting our main site, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Or check out the more than 200 video interviews on the Mr. Media radio site on YouTube. And I'd sure appreciate if you'd show some love for Mr. Media's advertisers, including Stitcher. Apple named Stitcher a top 5 news app of 2011. It's a free mobile app for your smartphone or tablet that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. You can listen whenever you want to more than 5,000 shows, get customized recommendations, and discover what your friends are listening to. My own list of Stitcher favorites is pretty eclectic. I start my day with an hour of MSNBC's Morning Joe with Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. Then it's the latest 2-minute update from the Onion News Network. After that, I'll listen to WTF with Mark Maron, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, and excerpts from E!'s Chelsea Lately and The Soup with Joel McHale. Also in regular rotation on my Stitcher playlist, The BS Report with ESPN's Bill Simmons, the TechCrunch headlines, and the Don Geronimo Show. The latest episodes of each show, whether originating from broadcasts, cable TV, radio syndication, or podcasts, are continuously updated. Stitcher is a free app for your iPhone, iPad, Kindle, Fire, BlackBerry, Droid, and more. And show your support of Mr. Media by getting, did I mention it's free? The app at stitcher.com/Mr. Media. That's stitcher.com/MR Media. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. We're also supported by Audible. Check out Audible's 30-day trial membership and download the audiobook version of the book everyone's been talking about, 50 Shades of Grey by E.L. James. Sign up for your free trial today at audible.com/radio. Again, audibletrial.com/radio. And finally, if you need a disc jockey for a wedding, bar mitzvah, corporate event, or just a big old party, please consider calling 1-800-DIAL-DJS, the party authority, for all your party entertainment needs. You can call 1-800-DIAL-DJS or go to their website, 1-800-DIAL-DJS.com, and tell them Mr. Media sent you. And thanks for listening.